Hello, welcome to Trust and Evil.
I'm Sam.
And I'm Bryony.
And we are actually going to do my case this time, aren't we? Because we said it in the last episode, or the last one we recorded, and it ended up being a chat episode.
It did, I'm afraid.
So we're saving that one. That one will come out eventually. I don't know when, but it will.
When I upload it.
When Bryony uploads it. Could be Christmas next year. Who knows? Yeah. So this is my case, and we're going to do it a bit different this week. So Bryony knows, and some of you may know if you're on our group, I put out a thing saying, would anybody be interested in having an episode based more along the lines of why people do what they do?
Which I'm so interested in.
Yeah. So I've been thinking about doing this for a long time, really, really toyed with the idea, but nobody really seemed to be interested in it. And that's all changed now. So there was a couple of comments on the Facebook page, and one girl got a hold of me and said, why don't you do it this way? So I thought,
had a lot on Instagram, which I don't talk about much because we don't really post on there very much.
Yeah.
Normally I haven't got the password, but a lot of people come through on Instagram. And with Instagram, it's a little bit different than Facebook because they are there just for true crime.
Yeah.
Whereas on Facebook, it's more of a community.
Yeah.
So, we've had a lot of interest on Instagram.
So I'm going to give it a go. It might be rubbish. Let us know, basically. If you don't like this, we won't do it again. So
the problem we've got is some people will like it, some people won't. We've realised you can't please everybody.
No.
Okay?
So we will go with the majority, basically. I thought when I set this out, when I sat down to do it, I thought I'd talk a bit about everything. That's really, really difficult because there's so much to go into on every topic. It's really hard just to sort of cherry pick bits from, like, I don't know, child abuse and murderers and da da da. So what I thought I'd do is concentrate on one area, and if people like it, we'll do like a different area every time.
Yeah.
So I've gone for Bryony's got something to say.
I will have to have a look for it, but I have got some shout outs actually.
Okay.
Just a minute. So we've got
You're ready to do it now.
No, I am. Just a minute. I've got Chelsea Allen, which is, I don't know if she's on our Facebook page. She's on her Instagram. She messages me all the time.
Okay.
She's a really, really nice girl.
Lovely.
And
Hey,
Chelsea. Thank you very much. And also, just quickly, there's one lady, which is her and her mum, which I need to shout out, but I'm going to find it quickly while Sam's talking.
Okay.
And then we'll do it at the end.
Lovely jubbly. So I can't remember where we got to, so I'll just start from where I think. So I thought today that we'd look at child sex offenders, as there's so many cases that we do that sort of are around this.
Yeah.
So I thought it'd be a good place to start. Now, obviously, it's a very hard topic. I'm going to be as respectful as I can. Honestly, I will try my best to sort of be respectful. But obviously, we are looking into why they do it. So there are going to be sort of seeing it from their point of view sometimes. But that does not mean that we are siding with them at whatsoever. So just keep that in mind. It's just purely because we're looking at a case of why they do what they do. We should all have some sort of level of understanding around, you know, its opinion. But I just want to sort of say me and Bryony are not experts on this. At all whatsoever.
We don't claim to be.
This is just two normal people talking about it. This is all research that I've done online trying to find out what's what. I've tried to look at places, websites that are genuine. They're not just sort of
tattoo.
Anyone's websites.
Yeah. And also as well, we are very opinionated on how we feel, and we are a bit different on things quite a lot. We do bicker a bit. But that's because we're passionate and we do just want to help people.
Yeah.
If we help one person, either get out of an abusive relationship or just stick up for anything, if we can help anyone, even just brighten their day up by listening to us talk shit.
Yeah.
Like, as long as we're helping somebody, we'll carry on doing the podcast.
And I've also written this as in, there's a few things in there on how to keep your child safe. I wanted to put that in there. So we're just going to attack it from all angles, I think. And there is a lot that I haven't said. This is so big. There's so much that we could say about this. We'd have a case for 10 hours. It's ridiculous. But
basically, we could talk forever because I really can't find her. I'm really annoyed with myself because it's so difficult. Can I just say to people that are listening, if you do message us obviously on our private page. Can they message us on our Trust and Evil account? They can't, can they?
They can write a post.
If you can, we'll figure out some way where we can keep you all together, because it's
you can open up a new chat.
Yeah, maybe we'll do that then. Maybe, yeah, I'll figure it out later. I'll have a look later. Okay, carry on, sorry.
So I guess to start with, I'm going to say, I really don't want to teach you guys how to suck eggs, but first I wanted to talk a little bit around what a psychopath is, as it's a term we use nowadays a lot, just generally recently. Oh, they're psycho, isn't it? Now, I'm not by any means saying that all paedophiles are psychopaths. That's not the truth. But I thought this is going to be relevant anyway. We talk about psychopaths quite a lot, so I just thought I'd add this in here. So a lot of people just think it's sort of, they use it, don't they, for just nasty, selfish, sort of dishonest, horrific people. They're like, they're a psycho. But that's not really all it is. They are definitely traits of a psychopath, but it's not all it is. So a psychopath is a severe form of an antisocial personality disorder. However, that does not mean that everyone that has an antisocial personality disorder is a psychopath. There's layers to it. And that I know people with personality disorders and, you know, they're lovely people. So this is not us saying that all people with personality disorders are terrible people, because you're not. So like all things in life, it's a spectrum, isn't it? A spectrum of what could be, what is, what your symptoms are. So what is the same for all personality disorders, though, is the fact that it will infiltrate that person's life completely. You know, it is in every part of who they are in one way or another. Sometimes that's good, sometimes that's bad. But it does affect how they human. Mm-hmm. I like that. How they human. How do you human?
How are they human?
Sorry, flicking pages.
If we could get Trisha on.
Oh, that would be amazing. She knows so much.
She's too scared.
Oh, we'll have to warm her up, make her drink some wine. I'm trying. Make her drink wine like you did me and agree to
she
it.
She doesn't drink, I don't think, really.
Well, then she'll be easy.
Yeah, but the thing is, though, she would agree and then sidetrack out of it because she can talk the talk. Yeah. You couldn't sidetrack out of this. And I said to Sam, let's do a podcast. It'll be well easy. Turns out it's really hard.
Yeah. But I would like to say, with personality disorders, if you get the right help, they can be managed. So I hope to anyone out there suffering, try and get the help that you need. And that looks different for everyone. So who the hell knows what that is? But there is help out there. And I hope that it's accessible to you. I really do.
It is accessible. It's if you can do it safely.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
And if you look at any TV show, they'll say, you know, we have got mental health teams, but they're oversubscribed. We have got this, but they're oversubscribed. Like, it's very difficult when you are suffering with mental health to actually access it when you need it.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the problem.
You've got to jump through all the hoops, haven't you?
And meet the criteria, which a lot of people mask because they don't want to go on and go, as it takes a lot to go to someone. I tried to kill myself.
Yeah.
It's like, do you have suicidal thoughts? When you obviously do, but you're too scared to say it. If you've got children.
Yeah.
Because you're scared your children will get taken away.
And there's still such a stigma around mental health. Massively. There really is. So, and that sort of goes into this, because you said about the criteria. So, to be diagnosed as a true psychopath, you must have like a number of traits. I think it's 30. And there is a checklist. It's called the HERS. Psychopathy checklist. Hers.
Go on, just do it with that. Yeah. We'll get beef for that, but go on.
So I'm not going to list them all because there are so many. So a few of the bigger traits are lack of empathy, no remorse or guilt, a history of harming animals, being very charming, which obviously on its own is a lovely thing, but with all these things, it's not so good. So being very charming, a grandiose sense of self-worth. Do you know what that means?
It's when you like really pick yourself up.
Yeah, sort of, you think you're better than everybody else.
Yeah, I think I'm fit. Look.
No, okay, I just wanted to check that you
everyone
understood.
Everyone saw that then. Everyone heard that.
I'm just checking that you're with me.
Yeah.
You're not looking. I'm confused. I don't know if you're
listening.
So, a pathological, pathological lying, history of committing crimes and being extremely manipulative.
But this falls into categories of other...
Lots of other things.
So it's very difficult.
Yeah, and that's why I think you've got to meet at least 30 of these things.
Yeah, because there's not many true psychopaths that have been actually diagnosed, no. really, is there, if you look at it. Do you know
and
what,
I'll
though?
Go into this, actually. It's one of the next things
I'm
going to say.
Can I say, though, that America is way ahead of us with mental health?
Oh,
they
sure.
are flying. Sure. We are so behind.
Therapy in America is just something everybody, or not everybody, but it's yeah, I guess I'm a therapist. Yeah. In England, there's still an amount of shame behind that. Yeah, and it's crazy.
Oh, yeah. You wouldn't tell somebody you're seeing a therapist.
No. So, fun fact. Ted Bundy scored 39 on this list.
I'm not surprised.
So, psycho.
Fucking extra.
So, being a psychopath cannot be diagnosed until adulthood. They don't do it as children. They do sort of recognise these symptoms, but they call it something else, which I can't remember. But you can't be diagnosed as a psychopath until you're an adult.
Okay.
Now, psychopaths exist in all sexes, cultures, and it's estimated that 1% of the male population are psychopaths, and 0.3% to 0.7% are female psychopaths.
Yeah, because there's not very many females.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at female serial killers and stuff to male serial killers, it's very low compared to,
mm-hmm.
not that you have to be a serial killer to be a psychopath, mm-hmm. I'm not saying that, but if you look at the statistics, women are, do women just get away with it more?
Maybe, who knows? I mean, I don't know what you think, but when you hear the word psychopath, whether they are really a psychopath or not, usually talking about women.
Yeah.
In general day-to-day life.
Because Tim would be like, oh, you went psycho on me.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I'd be like, oh, she's right, psycho.
Yeah.
But that is just a term we use, an out-of-phrase term. It's not, we're not saying she's a psychopath. We're just being like, oh, she went psycho.
She's going a bit mental, crazy.
Yeah.
Either way you look at it, though, it's a very, very small number of the population that are actually psychopaths.
Did you go back to when women used to be sectioned for like weekends and stuff to see then? Because if you look at the statistics then, when you could just take your wife to the mental institute and get her institutionalised for the weekend.
No, I didn't, purely because it's not really...
No, it's not relevant. Yeah. But if you went back then, I bet there would have been more females then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because men were in charge. You could tell...
Yeah, oh, you had a period and you're a bloody mental person.
Yeah,
crazy.
Or lesbian.
Yeah.
Oh
my God, being gay was a mental illness. That's absolutely mental.
It's so sad, isn't it? And even now, if you look at... But then I look at Jasmine in school and actually there's not much stigma. I mean, not that I can see. Like, you know, she's like, oh, she's... What is it? Like an asexual, or she's...
pansexual.
She's now a man.
Yeah.
Or now referring
transgender
to...
Transgender.
A girl in Jasmine's school come out as a boy and wanted to be a boy. She's now gone back to a girl. But... I mean, she must have had balls to do it, but she must have been accepted to do that.
Yeah.
She felt, I suppose it's how you are as a person, maybe.
Yeah.
But
no, schools are definitely more accepting of it now, and they make more, they make more effort to be inclusive.
Yeah, but as we found out with our children, that when they turn around and say they're something, they sort of grow out of it. Not like I'm saying you could be a lesbian and grow out of it, but...
Sometimes it's just a phase, and I don't mean to sound rude to anyone, but it's just a child exploring who they
and
are.
Yeah, when you say, people will look at you and go, oh, no, you can't say it's just a phase if you're a lesbian. Mm. We're not saying that.
No, actually, I want to take away the word phase, actually.
No, I think
they're
you're
just
right.
exploring.
No, I think you're
it's
right.
a child exploring who they are and who
no,
they're going to be.
No, I think you're right in saying that. There is phases where they go through where they think, like, oh, I think I'm a lesbian, so I'm going to sort of experiment with that. That they come to you and say, oh, yeah, no, I'm a lesbian now.
Yeah.
Not that my daughter has. I wanted to say that because I know some of her friends listen to our podcast. But what I'm saying is, it is a phase they go through. And I think it's like, I don't know.
I mean,
it's
being
weird
a teenager is confusing, isn't it?
Yeah.
When I was younger, I used to think these ladies, some girls, ladies, whoever they were, absolutely gorgeous. And I'm thinking... Because I think they're so pretty. Am I lesbian?
No, women do that anyway.
Yeah, and it wasn't. I was just maybe in awe of them.
But I wouldn't, if I was a lesbian, there's no way I would have come out of school.
No,
I wouldn't
have.
I wouldn't even have had the balls to do it. Because what would happen is I don't know now if you get bullied. I'd have to speak to Jazz, but you'd be bullied. No one would want to be your friend because they'd think you fancied.
The one lesbian that did come out in school, people were quite, I mean, I think she was accepted to a degree, but then people were all for her and loads of people spoke about her behind her back.
I know who it is, hold on. Yeah, I know who you're on about now, but also as well, I think she had sort of some mental health problems.
Definitely,
she didn't fit in. She wasn't very sociable anyway.
Yeah.
So I really liked her, to be fair. I did. But she wasn't very sociable. And I think sometimes you have that standoffishness.
Yeah.
You automatically, not that you should, but you automatically get a bit.
People sort of stay away. Like,
like you're not accepted so much.
Yeah.
Like I just floated through high school quite happily.
I did, pretty much.
And that's why I don't understand it now. I look at my two kids and they're so different.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, I loved going to high school for the socialisation.
Yeah.
And now it's, but then again, it was different. You didn't have to learn so much in school as you do now.
No, it's not. It was not as hard. Not as hard at all.
No, definitely not.
So anyway, going back to the case. Now, a sociopath is pretty much the same thing as a psychopath, but with the mental health world, either word isn't really used at all. They don't like those words. They might say psychopathy or psychopathic tendencies, but
so what's the difference in that then? What would be the difference in those two?
There's not really. They were used because I always thought there was a big difference between the two, but apparently from the research I've done, they are just words that relate to having a personality disorder.
So would it be that you didn't fit all the criteria of being a psychopath?
No.
But you fit quite a few, so then you'd be a sociopath?
No.
Oh.
No.
Maybe they're trying to phase it out.
I mean, if anybody else knows any different, I'd be very interested to know. But from what I can gather, it's just words used for this personality disorder.
Okay.
So my dyslexic ass is now going to stop trying to school you all on what a psychopath is, because what the hell do I know?
I think we're both psychopaths, to be honest.
Yeah.
We fit those criteria pretty well. Shit, poor.
I just sort of felt it important to have a clear understanding of that for me and you as well as everybody else, because like I said, we use the word quite flippantly, so it's
good
to know.
We don't on the podcast say much, though.
Sometimes we do say the bloody psycho or that.
Oh, yeah,
psycho.
But we don't mean it as in like...
No, we're not diagnosing anyone as a psychopath.
No, people come at you for things like that anyway, so you can't win.
No. So let's get back to paedophiles. Now, I thought first we'd look at some of the most sort of vile, horrible people out there, but then I can't really name cases too much because then you get stuck doing that and then it's like I'm doing a case.
Yeah.
So I thought to begin with, I'd just give you like a few estimates of what people are like in England.
Okay.
So as many as 1 in 20 children are being abused, and around 30% of these are male children and around 40% of these are female children. And I think that's just such a scary number.
I thought male children would be more.
Mm.
Actually, I'm surprised at that. I don't know why.
Mm. I don't really know what I thought, but that's a scary number.
I would like people to comment in the group when we post this case. If you, when you were younger, did you really know what a paedophile was?
Mm.
Because you would get, or you're a pedo, or they like kids. But my mum never really explained to me anything about a paedophile.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I was never abused, but then my mum never explained stuff to me.
I must have been told, because I feel like I obviously didn't always know, but I feel like I've always known what a paedophile is, but I can't remember having that conversation.
I know what a paedophile is, but now I'd say to my children, sort of, if they are older than you, even if they are 16 and you are 14, they are still older. Mm-hmm. They're making, you know, if they are willing to have sex or anything with you, you've got to look at it as, actually, are you ready for that, because they are older. Like, always make them understand that, and if they're older again, then they can't do that. It is against the law.
Yeah.
You know, because Jasmine, I said to you before, now she has, I'm going to post it on the group, actually, she's got this guy on Snapchat that keeps making up accounts. She keeps blocking him, he keeps making up accounts, and he keeps sending her pictures of his dick and stuff.
Did you ring the police?
No, because
you need to.
Because it's so hard, because I don't know anything about him. The only thing I've got is his Snapchat.
But
so
you still need to.
We've got people on the group that are quite savvy.
Yeah.
So I might post him on the group.
Do it.
And get people, see if anyone out there can help me, because he is, I would say he's definitely 30, 25, 30. Did I show you the pictures?
No.
Definitely 25, 30. And he knows how old she is. He's FaceTimed her.
Mm.
And she's like, oh, when I'm with my friends, I pick up. It's funny. I'm like, Jazz, you're not in trouble. And I get it. Like, you're allowed to pick up your, if he's ringing you, you can pick up the phone.
No, don't. No.
But what I'm saying to her is he is a paedophile. But at the start, she thought she was in trouble.
Yeah.
Like, because I went fucking mental. Yeah. I literally hit the fucking roof. And then when I calmed down, I had to explain to her, like, you're not in trouble. It's not you. It's him. He shouldn't be doing this. And I've recorded a video and been like, I'm going to ring the police. I'm going
to
do this.
I know there's not a lot to go on, but you need to let the police know, Bri.
But it's fucking weird, man. Like, you don't think a paedophile would touch your family. But that is, like, he's a paedophile.
Yeah.
And he's trying to abuse my daughter.
Yeah, and he's trying.
Like, you know, and he said to me, oh, he's asked me to meet him. He's asking, like, and she's like, I'll watch her block him, and then he'll set up another account. And I explained to her, if he's doing this to you, Jazz, he's doing this to other girls, you're not just the only one.
You need to
and
ring the police.
She kept asking me for her bank details, and I kept going, what for? And I reckon he was going to put money in her account, personally. I reckon, I wish I'd done that now, because I'd have a track. Thing, yeah. So I did say to her, oh, tell him to give you some money or something. Tell me, like, I'm trying to, like, get who he is.
Yeah.
Like, do you know what I mean? Like, yeah. I want to know
something
who he
solid.
Is. I will go to his fucking house. I don't give a shit where he lives. Yeah. If he's fucking at the other end of fucking England, I will go there. Yeah. I promise you that. And I will film it. I will go to his house when I find out who this wanker is.
Yeah.
But I'll post it on the group. I don't care. I'll post his face.
Post it. No, name and shame me.
Yeah, I will.
Because
I want to find
out. But like I said, ring the police. Please promise me you'll ring the police.
I just want to stay on. I know it sounds awful because it's my child, but I know there's nothing they will do. And I don't want to stay on.
I know, but
forever.
Please do it.
I just don't think there's anything they can do.
But they might.
Snapchat is so, like, you can't.
I know, I get that, but please just ring the police.
I will do it tomorrow, I promise you.
Yes,
cross my heart.
Good.
I will do it.
So, the most common ages to be sexually abused as a child are between 7 and 14, which your Jazz falls right into,
yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
But, of course, sadly, we all know that that's not the it's younger, older.
A lot younger, we know. I mean, I think if you've got an abusive... a paedophile in your household,
yeah,
for sure, it's going to be really early.
Yeah.
And it might even just be that they change your bum and they enjoy it, and mm-hmm. that change nappies and they enjoy it and things. No, but what I'm saying
yeah,
is
yeah, no, I see what you mean.
That, or, like, you don't know you're a paedophile and you start doing that and you start thinking, oh, I like, do you know what I mean? Mm. I imagine a lot of them, yeah, I imagine.
They'll start and somewhere, I
if
guess.
There is, if you were with a partner and they were a paedophile and you didn't know it, and you had a child with him, or you had another child from a previous relationship, I think it would take a lot for you to know what they were doing, because they would obviously be sneaky about it. And the child is groomed in such a way that it's normal. It's normal. It is normal.
And as you said, in a lot of situations, it's all online now.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's scary as hell.
Really scary.
Scary as hell.
I've gone on a chat room before just to see, and I've literally been chatting to people, and I'm like, I'm 14, and they're like, oh yeah, that's cool.
That's
like
cool.
Just to see how many people would actually chat to me. I was just curious.
Yeah.
Just bored and curious. And I don't think any of them were like, oh no, you're underage.
Sorry, can't talk to you.
Yeah, they all wanted to talk to me. And obviously, like, can you send me a picture? And I'm like, well, I mean, I don't look 14, so I can't do that. But I just wanted to see. We should do it one day just to see this. Honestly, the amount of people that don't care, the amount, I think paedophiles mainly do go online. That's where they get their kicks from.
And
if they've got money to send to kids, like, a kid would sell her a picture for a fiver, because it's like, I'm not saying they're doing anything wrong by that.
No.
But it's like, oh, I'll give you a fiver if you send me a picture. Oh, okay, cool. Even if it's just of their face, like, they want to, paedophiles don't just care about your bits. Like,
no.
The vision is that they're young. Yeah. They want to see that they're young.
And also it's grooming. So to begin with, it might be an innocent picture, but it never
stays
that way.
Look at that celebrity that come out. Who was he? He wasn't an MP, was he?
I don't know.
He was like, he was a celebrity. He was
Philip
Schofield. Oh, no, the one on, no, the another one, the one that read the news. He's really famous.
Oh, I can't remember.
And
his name.
He's been grooming whoever this is for years and years and years. And the only reason why they come out is because they asked him for money. I don't think he gave it to them. So they exposed him. But I don't know if the parents knew. It's very strange. And yeah, basically, he didn't want to give them money because they're older now. He's not interested in them. And he really didn't think that they'd come out. And I'm so glad that they did, because they've done nothing wrong.
No.
They've done nothing wrong in this situation. No. But I think he gave them, like, I don't know, like 10 grand or something. But they were addicted
to
drugs.
Like you say, if they're doing it to you, they're doing it to someone else as
well. Yeah, 100%, 100 million percent. Especially in the limelight as well. If they think they can get away with it. Who else is there? What's his name? The really, like, cool, the one that was married to Katy Perry.
Russell Brand,
There's so much that's going to come out about him.
Do you know what? I had tickets to go and see him the week that this all came out.
Did you go?
No, I did not
go.
Did
I have? I'm glad. You should, I reckon that should be your next.
There's not a lot of information out there at the moment.
What about Philip?
I'll look into
A little one about Philip.
Maybe.
Just a little, like, this is what he's done.
Yeah, okay. So, back to the statistics. So, there are over 90% of sex offences that are committed by someone that the child knows. So over 90% of sex offenders that are committed by somebody that the child knows. And if it's not one of the parents, it's someone around that the parents trust, usually. And that's not me having a go at the parent. I'm not shaming parents.
Can I just say something, though? Mm. I think that's wrong. Not that you're wrong. I think that's wrong, because I think, actually, if you look at computers again now, it's very hard to get statistics off of them, but actually it's so easy.
But then that also goes into somebody the child knows. It sort of falls into that because they make friends first.
Oh yeah, I suppose, yeah.
It's not a stranger.
An online one? Have you got any online?
No, I haven't. But it's not the online, it isn't a stranger off the street that's just nabbed your kid.
Oh no, yeah, I get what you mean. Yeah. Sorry, okay, yeah.
So
yeah,
it's somebody that the child knows. So, yeah. Which goes to speak to just how charming and underhanded these people are. Because it's, you know, obviously, when it's not online, the parents know them.
Or is it the fact that actually it's quite easy because if, like, obviously, I'm not a paedophile. I want to make that very clear. But yes. If I was a paedophile and I decided that your kids were my target, you would leave your kids with me. You would let your kids come to my house because... I'm your friend, and I don't have to charm you in a way. I'm
because that trust is already
there.
That
I talk to your kids, like I could take them shopping, buy them stuff. You'd be like, oh no, she's just a lovely person.
But you're doing it because you're my friend. A paedophile is doing it for that reason, which means they are charming.
Yeah, which it does.
They're grooming the parents as much as they're grooming the child.
Yeah, I do. I understand what you're saying. I just think like it's quite easy in a way. It wouldn't be easy just to make friends, but also as well a lot of women out there that are really desperate for a bloke. Well, I'm saying that there's loads of them, but there is quite a few that are really desperate to be in a relationship.
They'll overlook dodgy things.
They'll overlook a lot of things that are quite clear in the beginning, especially with abuse on children, actual physical abuse. You know, like Logan, for instance, she just wanted to be with somebody and she didn't give a shit what he was like. You know, and that was just a classic case of, I want to be with someone and I don't care how they treat my
child. Putting my own needs before yours.
Yeah. And I wouldn't put it past me if he wasn't sexually abused personally, but that's just my personal opinion on that case.
You've also got like third party people, like a member of school staff or a friend's parent and things like that.
Yeah,
like,
or a friend of a friend.
Yeah.
So there's that guy recently, isn't there, from Exeter that I vaguely know. I know him from like people I know.
Right.
And he went to prison for being a paedophile and it was like, this girl, I know of her, but I don't know her. But obviously he was looking after her child and she found out. But I think he came out as gay. Gay, that's a good one, isn't it? Because people are like, oh, it's my friend, he's gay. Mm. Cool. But he was like a genuinely just Jack the Lad sort of type guy. And he was a paedophile. Turned out he was a paedophile. And he had A star freaking images, like the worst images you can get.
Yeah.
And she was letting him look after her kid. Because it's like, you've got a childminder. Oh, look, I don't mind. I'm not working. I'll look after him. Like, I haven't got any work on.
Yeah.
You go to work and I'll look after your child. Don't worry about it. We'll be fine.
Yeah.
And like, as a parent.
It just goes to show, though, these are the people that you know.
And as a parent, like, it's like, oh, do I let my employer down again?
Yeah.
Or do I let this
There's
person
that extra stress. Or if I don't go to work, I can't afford X, Y, and Z.
Mm-hmm.
There is actually my sister's ex-husband's son has just been put in prison for the same.
Might be the same person.
Maybe.
That's what I mean. It is easy.
Yeah.
Being a paedophile is easy as shit is it sounds.
Yeah.
It's very fucking easy. Unless you are that sort of mum that is on it all the time and you really vet people that are looking after your children, it is very easy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you've got 90%, that's the statistics anyway. So then you have the other 10%. So they reckon that it's just under 10% of children that do not know their abuser. Now, these are the ones that have fallen victim to the sex trade industry. Paedophilia is sickening no matter what way you look at it. It's not okay. It's disgusting. Sort your life out because gross. And nobody deserves that. Nobody does. But the sex trade hits different for me because these people are selling children to whoever, and these children go into what the most horrific circumstances.
Sometimes the children know where they're going as well.
And it's all to make a buck. Like, no child's life is worth, I don't care what amount you spend.
What I will say is they prey on people, this is going abroad now,
right,
that really have nothing. Mm-hmm. These people they haven't even got enough to eat for a day, let alone a week. And they go to those countries because they know that these people will give their children over because if they don't, they're going to starve to death.
Yeah.
That's, you know, they haven't got any money. They don't live in nice houses. They don't have anything.
No, that ties into what I'm going to say next, because Interpol has said that there have been a massive recent increase of people travelling abroad to access children.
Because it's easier. Look at that gay couple that had that child. They adopted that child, and it turned out that they were basically taking him abroad, and it looked like they were just going on these lovely holidays, but they were actually selling him for sex.
Oh, yes, I did see that.
That is just horrendous. Poor child.
It's disgusting.
I don't even know how they'll grow up, because 9 times out of 10, if you are abused, you grow up to think that that is what you do and that is normal, and that is a sad case. It's just a vicious circle. Yeah,
I do talk about that later. Yeah. So I couldn't find the exact statistics. I'm really struggling with the word statistics at the moment.
It's hard.
So on how likely it is to be abducted by a complete stranger and abused. But I can tell you that from what I did find, it's extremely unlikely.
It's very low. It is very much that. I think in my head would be that they've got that urge and that kid's just sort of wandering, because a lot of people just let their kids out so young to just wander around. That child's just wandering around, no one's really watching them, and they think that my chance, that urge is so strong they just do it. And it's very rare, because normally they've got children they can access, so they don't have to do that. Or a lot of the times, people that do that to children, a lot of the times they're pissed or they're on drugs, and it's like, your mindset's completely different. Not that it's okay.
From what I've read, obviously the paedophiles, they want to be paedophiles. They want to do these things. Some of them actually don't want to, but it's an urge, but that's a different situation. Still, is that agreeable? No, it's not okay.
I think that's been made out to be a massive... I think people latch onto that, especially paedophiles. It's such an urge, I have to do it. Well, hold on a minute, because I like sex.
Yeah.
But I don't think I have to have sex all day, every day.
No, with anyone. Yeah, you're not off shagging Tom, Dick and Harry. No,
exactly. Like, go and get a fucking little funny...
I mean, I have an urge to eat takeaway all day, every day. And I know that's sort of saying something very flippantly, but I do.
No, I do believe that people have latched onto that. And it's like, oh, it's an urge, it's an impulse, it's a disease. Well,
you learn to control it because it's wrong, because you're fucking another life up.
And if you are really in that place where you think you're going to abuse somebody... go and access some counselling that's going to help you, because they are out there. They will help you. If you turn around to somebody and say, if you don't help me, I'm going to go and abuse a child, you'd be like first on the list, let's face it. So I just think that word is so overused. I hate that.
Yeah. The risk of a paedophile, like if it's a complete stranger abducting your child, the risk there is there's a very, very high chance that you're going to get found out.
Yeah.
And paedophiles don't want to get found out.
Yes.
And that's why they stick with children. They know that they can green, because they can ensure that I can do this and I can get away with it.
And look at the people that go and catch paedophiles, paedophile hunter people. Yeah. Some of them go to the same person over and over again. Yeah. They're like, this is like the fourth time you've done this.
Yeah.
Because actually, out of those four times, how many times have they actually met a child?
Yeah.
Probably a lot. That's why they're doing it. That's why this is the fourth time you've caught them.
Yeah.
And it's like, they shouldn't have mobile phones. They shouldn't have this. And they've got it all. Because who's going to honestly monitor if they haven't got a mobile phone? Or go to your house and go, oh, there's no mobile. Fine. Mm. That's fine. Like, they can access mobiles and computers so easily.
Yeah.
And yeah, right, it might be banned in the libraries and things like that. But everybody's got the internet now.
Yeah.
There's always a victim that they can easily get.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's very unlikely that they're going
to... Far more likely that the abductor will have been familiar to the child in some way, shape or form, even if it's somebody that lives on your street.
Yeah, somebody that you vaguely know.
Yeah.
That is common though, isn't it? That is common.
And they do say you always live close to a paedophile.
Well, I live across the road from one.
Yeah, I used to have one down the road.
As well, I think that you need to remind children, like, because obviously you do it. You say, oh, hi to your neighbours. Morning, hi. But I always say to like Jasmine and Finley, don't trust anybody.
No.
Like, I've always said to them, if an adult comes up to you and wants you to do something or ask you to do something that you always say, I'm going to check my mum.
Yeah.
Ring me. That's why my children have got phones when they're quite a young age. They can ring me. They can ask me. Even at school, I've said, like, if they're asking you to do something you're not comfortable with, you ask them to call me or you ring me.
Yeah.
Because you have a right to say no.
Yeah, you shouldn't be forced to do anything that makes you feel uneasy.
Yeah, exactly. Even if it's going into another classroom that you don't want to go into. If you don't want to go into that classroom, there's no reason.
I'm a big advocate for trust your gut. If your gut's telling you something's wrong, it probably is.
Yeah, but I always say to my, like, don't trust anybody. Even though you've said hello to that neighbour, it doesn't mean we're friends with them. Like, there's a difference. I don't know that person.
Yeah.
You don't know that person. They haven't got the right to tell you to do anything.
No.
You know?
No.
But it's weird because my neighbour, like, couple of doors down, came and knocked on my door once and was like, we'd known it for ages, and was like, I just want to come and tell you, and it's out of place, like, really, like, panicky about it. And he was like, basically, there's a paedophile on the street and he groomed like a 13-year-old, but it doesn't say if it's a boy or a girl. It just says he went into prison for it. So and it's, there's not a lot on out there about it, really. Mm. And do you know the worst bit about it is his mum is so lovely. His mum is the nicest person ever. And he was living the school. How close is the school?
Oh my God, he's so close to a school.
Five steps.
That's ridiculous. It's not even a 3-minute walk.
No, but what I found out about that is I think he was involved in some sort of club. It was like he was involved in something with children, and that's how he groomed that child.
Okay.
So he was involved in some sort of club. I wouldn't say football because that's anything, but he was involved in something that child got to know.
Got into. Crazy, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Absolutely mental. So, in the event of being abducted just off the street by a stranger, whoever, only 5% of these children that are abducted will come home. All the rest die or are kept as prisoners.
Yeah, and the majority of them that are killed.
Yeah.
Because it's such a frantic thing that they do. They kill them out of fear.
Yeah.
Because they know who they are.
Yeah.
And they can identify them. It's really sad because actually it's like you're taking away a life because you're scared of getting caught.
Because you've done this despicable thing.
And normally they got caught anyway.
Yeah. So is there a reason that somebody becomes a paedophile? Right. This next section, like I said, is not me making up excuses. It's or trying to like get sympathy for the offenders. It just is what it is.
It's the fact.
Yeah, it's how it is. So it's simply what I found on what someone's biology and mentality are like for the perpetrator, what they're, you know, is it biological? Is it something that's built
nature,
in?
Nurture, yeah. All that crap that comes to. And we found out now that actually you start getting your cells from your parents from when you're in the womb, like a tiny little sperm. Yeah. That's when it all starts.
Yeah.
Hence why there's a lot of people with anxiety and depression and shit like that.
So as with anything, not everything is black and white, but as I said earlier, you know, nothing is ever black and white. Everything's sort of like you get different levels of things. So what's your opinion? Is there, do you think very quickly if there's a reason somebody might become a paedophile?
I think I would go with more that actually they have been a victim.
Okay.
That is, I think that would make you more prone to being a paedophile.
Yeah, for sure.
Personally.
Yeah.
That's how I see it.
Yeah, no, definitely. So let's talk about some indicators that a lot of paedophiles have. And it's been found that, you know, this is a common thing between many paedophiles, not all of them, but it seems to be a common factors.
Yeah.
So abnormal hormone levels is one.
How do you know if you've got, how would you know that?
They've been tested. They've been tested, yeah.
Okay.
So abnormality in brain structure and function, presence of certain neurological characteristics at birth.
I feel like more of your frontal lobe would play a part in that.
Yeah.
That'd be very much so.
Yeah. Reduced levels of white matter, abuse in childhood by adults, and comorbid psychiatric illness. Now, I don't know what that is.
Comorbid psychiatric illness. So
This could be like such as personality disorders, mood disorders, and psychotic disorders.
That would make you more prone to being a paedophile.
Yeah, well, not prone to being a paedophile, but it's a lot of them have it in common.
And would they have all of this or could just have one?
I think it's just a case of you could have one. It's just things that they have in common. Maybe either or. I think it's an either or situation. So having any of these issues and indeed without having anything else, this can also lead to... Indicator. So, depression, post-traumatic stress disorder.
Can I just state quickly that actually this is just what they found paedophiles have. Not everybody with depression is going to be a paedophile.
Yeah. Oh, don't God, no.
Be panicking.
Most people with depression, definitely not paedophiles. So, as I said, we can't stress
but
that enough.
If you're a paedophile, you would be depressed.
Yeah.
Because you're living a life of just... It must be absolutely chaotic. Not I'm sticking up for them, but it must be awful.
No.
It must be absolutely awful.
Definitely.
Because you're doing something that society deems as the worst of the worst.
Yeah, definitely. So, and I guess only a psychopath maybe wouldn't feel any remorse.
Yeah. Oh, I think they do. A lot of them feel remorse over what they do.
But they just don't listen to that and they listen to their urges.
Yeah, because it's so strong.
Yeah. Mm. So also behavioural problems, poor self-esteem and suicidal thoughts or attempts. So these are all, again, like I said, traits. It doesn't mean if you have any of these that
you're a paedophile. Yeah,
not at all.
This is just what they found that most of them have.
Yes. So there are instances where a paedophile doesn't in particularly like have a preference for children, but they force sexual acts on minors in an effort to gain control and dominate and strike fear in their victims. So it's not particularly that they have sexualized children. It's just their way of...
I know of one case where a girl was... her dad would have sex with her because her mum passed away.
Yeah.
So she was the eldest girl. And yeah, it's like, you're fulfilling my... I'm a man. I yeah, need sex. So
and
that's
you're
her
here.
Role.
Yeah.
And that became her role. And it was like, it was normal because that is what
she, because
happened.
She's become the woman of the house.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, which is very, very sad. But so I wouldn't sad. Say he was a paedophile. Well, he is.
He is. But that wasn't his main... It was... She, well, this is exactly what I was going to say next, actually. There are also cases... there are also cases where the child is sexually abused because they're a victim of opportunity.
Yeah.
They're just there.
Yeah, it's like he would get drunk and just have sex with her. That yeah. That was how it was.
Yeah, so these people are referred to as situational sex offenders.
Okay.
So it's because of the situation, not because of yeah. sexual preference.
Yeah, of course, which is awful as well mm. because... As a child, it's you don't understand what you're doing to a child when you do things like that. You don't even, they could be the most normal child and you can ruin their whole life.
Yeah.
Well, you do ruin
you
their
do,
whole life.
Yeah. You don't just come out of that and be like,
and
I'm
that's
cool.
What annoys me more is the fact that these children have to live with that for the rest of life, but these paedophiles, it was an urge.
Yeah.
It's my urge. It's so strong I had to do it.
Well, again, have you, however, do you think you've read my notes?
I haven't, actually.
Because there's also something called a regressed sex offender. Now, these are people, again, that don't primarily want children, but if the child is there at a time of stress, that's their stress relief.
Yeah.
Oh, God, again, that, oh, like again, that makes me feel sick.
She was there. She had to, he was stressed. He was coming from work. Yeah. You know, that's your job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I do believe that parents, though we owe it to our children to have awareness about paedophiles, you know, I
oh
do.
Oh my God, massively.
We as, yeah.
It's not talked about enough.
No.
It's brushed under the carpet. You've got to admit, if something happens, paedophiles, child murderers, all that, you look at how much attention they get on the news.
Yeah.
It'll be a 2-minute clip yeah. of this paedophile's been sentenced or this, you know, in your area.
Yeah.
But it's not spoken about enough.
No.
It should,
no.
You should.
And I mean, I'm not saying that parents need to be talking about paedophiles all day, every day, but they definitely need a very good awareness of what actually
I think
is and
to
what
make
could happen.
The word in your house, not a dirty word.
So yeah.
Make your children understand that if they are, if try and make your children, I would like to know that if my children were abused, they could come to me and tell me about it without feeling shame.
Yeah.
Like that's my goal yeah. in life is to make sure that they can come to me and tell me something and not feel ashamed about it because
yeah.
it's not their fault.
See, when I was younger, I really believed that any crime was sort of committed by the bad guy,
well, yeah.
you know, who we don't know. He's yeah. some strange bad guy. He's a bit crazy, talks to himself, wears weird clothes, smells funny. Mm. You know, that was my sort of interpretation
Can
of a bad guy.
I'm just going to say the name of the road, Vaughan Road.
Mm. Yes, I remember who, yeah.
And actually, do you know what? I don't actually, looking back, because I was thinking about it, because I've got like connections to that, I don't remember him ever touching children. I'd love to Google it and see if he's ever convicted, but he was very simple, very simple, and he'd have children in his house. It wasn't really his choice. It was more the fact that they knew where they could go. He would buy them alcohol.
Yeah.
And it was like, actually, who was the victim in this? Because if he was a paedophile, obviously he's not the victim, but as an outsider looking in now, I think he was more the victim. He was vulnerable.
Yeah.
He didn't really understand.
Yeah.
And he'd have older kids like 15, 16.
Well, that goes into, this could be, that's one of the traits, the sort of red flags, isn't it? Because as I said earlier, it's people that have some sort of disorder. I think he was very simple, like you said, possibly autistic, that kind of thing.
Yeah, he would have a lot of things wrong with him. But I don't really remember. I remember people saying he was a paedophile, but was he just like...
Was he just some random guy that has kids in his house and people assume?
Yeah. Yeah, because look at that guy that we used to go to when we were younger to smoke pot. Like he...
Smoke pot? I never smoked pot with a guy.
Oh, no, it wasn't you. It was my other friend. Sorry. Oh. So we used to go to this guy's house and he'd have about 6 or 7 of kids in here.
Mm.
People spoke about him being a paedophile. He never touched any... he never touched me.
But you know of, yeah.
I 100% don't think he ever touched my friend. He was just... He wanted friends, I think.
Yeah.
He couldn't make friends his own age and... we used him to go and smoke pot in his house.
Yeah.
And he allowed us to do it. But outside, if that was happening to my daughter now, I'd be like, he must be some sort of fucking paedophile.
Yeah.
Like, it's not normal to let children into your house.
Yeah. So with this kind of stuff in mind, I want to just sort of read out. I've taken this straight off the NHS website. So I'm not copying source. It because I'm bad. I'm saying it because
you've said where you've got your sources from.
Yeah, this is my source. So these are just some things to sort of be aware of within this sort of topic. Okay. So these are things to look out for with your child. So changes in behaviour. A child may start being aggressive, withdrawn, clingy, have difficulty sleeping, have regular nightmares, or start wetting the bed. Mm-hmm. Second one is avoid. They might try to start avoiding the abuser. So the child may dislike or seem to be afraid of a particular person all of a sudden and try avoid spending time with them, especially when it's alone time. Sexually inappropriate behaviour. Children who have been abused may behave in a sexually inappropriate way or use sexually explicit language or things like that you think, a bit young to be sort of speaking it sort of that way or know that or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Now, the next one is physical problems. The child may develop health problems, including soreness in the genital area or the anal area or a sexually transmitted infection, also pregnant. So obviously that's more of a definitely they're doing something, and it's hard because some teenagers, if they're teenage, you think, is it sort of a teenage boyfriend, teenage girlfriend, they're coming together and this is happening. So that's hard, isn't it?
Well, I went out with somebody when I was 15, he was 40.
Oh my Lord.
Right? Now, nobody batted an eyelid. My mum obviously did, nobody else did bat an eyelid. Mm. Now, he's a fucking paedophile, let's face it. I was having sex with him as well. Like,
Jesus.
I didn't know what I was thinking, do you know what I mean? But he used to take me out to the pubs drinking. I was going out.
It was cool. He was the older bloke. You were cool.
I was using him to go out, and I would just have sex with him. I'd be drunk, and I'd have sex with him. So actually, I didn't want to. I wouldn't say it's rape, but I didn't want to have sex with
him. But you did, because he was giving you something that you did want.
Yeah, but he's the paedophile. It's not.
But he is a paedophile, because whether you wanted to or not, you were underage.
Yeah.
And he was 40.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, he wasn't 16 or 17.
No,
and you
40.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He should have known better.
He tried to add me on Facebook. I was like, fuck off.
Right. So I've got two more things, sort of the warning signs. So problems at school. An abused child may have difficulty concentrating, learning, and their grades may start to drop. Now, obviously, if your child has that anyway and always has, not so much of a sign. But if it happens all of a sudden, then I sort of think, what's going
on?
Can
I just say, though, quickly, because I know Sam's rush for time. You have to, taking abuse out of it, if children's grades drop and things, I think when they hit high school, definitely, and it could be a number of things.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, just what is going on. It doesn't mean that there's a paedophile involved.
But I think out of all of this, just my advice to anybody would make it a conversation that you have.
What's going on?
Regularly-ish, sort of like once every few months.
Check in with your child.
Make sure they understand that what a paedophile is, if anything. Because children, like I said, I didn't really understand what a paedophile was. Yeah. Again, I thought it was a skanky one that didn't wash, that let your kids into his house was a paedophile.
What I didn't know, like I just said to you, if I consent and it's an older guy, I didn't know that was a paedophile.
No, I didn't. Like this guy, I didn't think he was a paedophile. No. He was taking me to pubs. What were everyone else thinking?
I thought you're a paedophile if you take these kids and do things they don't want.
Yeah.
And no, you know, if you're 15, 14, you think this guy's wonderful and he's 40. No, he's a pedo.
At 14, 15 years old, I did not look 18. I know I didn't.
Yeah.
I know I look young now-ish. I'd say young, but you know. And I know I only got served in those pubs because he knew the landlords and things and people that were there. But surely they must have, everybody. I mean, we must be sitting with a group of 20, 30 people.
Why did nobody question this?
Drinking, because that's what they did. No, nobody really questioned it.
I hope that is getting better now, though, because I've had similar experiences to that. Obviously, I wasn't shagging a 40-year-old, but I have had similar experience to that. And it just seemed to be accepted when we were younger.
Yeah, it does. I'm not going to shy away on this podcast and not tell that story, because actually, I wasn't in the wrong. He was in the wrong.
No.
And people that didn't question it were in the wrong.
The guy I lost my virginity to, he was well in his late 20s, early 30s.
That was abroad, though.
That was abroad, and that was rape, because I said no, and he did it anyway.
I guarantee you that he would, I mean, we've had the conversation, we don't know for sure, but even if you would have tried to get him prosecuted or whatever, it wouldn't have happened.
It wouldn't have happened.
If it's abroad, it's so different abroad, like Turkey and or places those like countries. That, it's so different.
Yeah. I didn't even realise it was rape until I was an adult.
Yeah.
No idea.
No, and like you say, you said no. I've had guys that I've said no to that have still done it, and it's like, I've just done it just to, so I can go.
In my head, I went back to his, not to his bedroom, I did eventually, but we went back to his house, that was expected, and I just thought it was my job, even though I said no. I just thought, well, that he was expecting it. Yeah. It was my fault. I shouldn't have put myself in that situation. But I was 14.
Yeah, exactly. You don't understand how much pressure someone will put on you to have sex. You don't really understand that.
Yeah.
You know, like, it can be, and it can be where you're pressured, where you don't really say no. You just don't want it to happen.
Yeah.
You don't actually say no. You just think, I don't want this. And you don't say anything. You just sort of go, like, with one guy, I just didn't talk. I just wanted to get it over with so I could leave, basically.
Yeah.
And he was so pestering me so much. And I was in his room on my own. There was no one else there.
So it's just do that so you can go and get
recently, out. Me and my sister went in town in where I live, and these guys, we were chatting to him, and Leon was, he was like, come back, we're really pissed. I was like, oh, whatever, like, staggering along as you do. Went up, I couldn't even tell you where it was, but we went up these stairs, massive stairs like that, and then went into this room, and I kid you not, there was about 10 of them on the floor on mattresses. I looked, I literally was like, am I fucked? My sister was in there, I was like, get out. Fucking get out. She was like, oh, we're just having a drink. I fucking get out. Literally, this guy was trying to push me in. This other guy come out for the apartment and was
That's
like, what's
really
going
scary.
On? And I was like, I'm going. He was like, you can't be shouting in here, get out. Like, this guy, but luckily,
this other guy
was trying to push me in.
Mm.
Like, I shit myself.
That's
I was
so
like,
scary.
I'm not putting myself in
You've
that situation.
You've got to be so careful.
And imagine if no one would have come out that door and I just got pushed in.
Yeah.
Like, there was about 10 of them. I'm not even joking to you.
You're severely outnumbered.
Even now, I'm panicky about it. It was awful. I felt, my sister's like, oh, it'd have been fine. I'm like,
no. You
and
get the fuck out of there.
I went to a hotel room once, went on some hen do, I don't know. And I went back pissed. I went back really early. And I woke up and there was literally about 10 guys in my room. Like, there was about 5 of us girls. And I freaked out. I was like, get the fuck out of my room. I don't want you in here. Rah, rah, rah. Anyway, security came. And these guys were hiding. I was like, one of them's in the wardrobe, but 3 of them was under the bed. Mm. Like, get them fuck out. And everyone hated me. But I was like, I don't want a minia. Like, I'm not putting myself in that situation where something could happen.
So the last one of this is, there are times where the child will give clues. Children may also drop hints and clues that there is abuse happening without really revealing it outright. So it's just being attuned to your child to pick up on these small little tidbits, and if you don't pick up on it,
it's not your fault. It's very difficult.
It is very difficult.
Because children change all the time. They go through changes all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But I just honestly do think make it a conversation that you have.
Yeah. And as hard as it is sometimes with your kids, I battle with mine too, but make yourself approachable.
Yeah, definitely.
For sure.
Yeah.
Right. This is going to be a two-parter because there's quite a lot of information left.
And we've babbled on.
People
don't like it when we chat on and tell our stories.
Oh, but they do. I've got so many messages saying I love the way
I know. We have a lot of them, but a lot of people don't. Like, there's like a mixed review. People are like, I just wish you told the story. But if we didn't say our little pieces, I think it'd be just a boring podcast.
Definitely.
Like, there's so many true crime podcasts where you can just go and hear the story and that's it. And people love that.
Yeah.
I love that.
I love it. But we do it our way.
Yeah, and we love it. So, thank you very much. Follow us on Facebook. Follow us on Instagram.
We will set up a chat somewhere.
Please go and give us a 5-star review. I have got a confession to make.
Okay.
I have found some bags up on my top that I haven't sent to this. Emma has definitely not got one. It's up on my... I knew I hadn't.
I will look at my emails because somebody emailed me saying they hadn't received them.
But can I just say the Australian ones are going to be really difficult to send because of the sweets. We're going to have to take the sweets out.
Maybe we can think of something different. We'll get back to you.
I've got 3 Australian ones that haven't gone because of the sweets. They won't allow it. I spoke to my friends.
So maybe we'll send them to someone else and think of something different.
We could just send them the pens and the stickers and that's it.
We'll see. Well, we'll talk about it in a minute. But thank you very much for listening, guys.
Bye.